keep our hearts in a posture of worship as we open up God's Word to the book of Matthew, very first book in the New Testament. So turn there to Matthew. Again, there's a Bible right there in front of you if you're new to the church and new to the Bible. We love it when people are making discoveries in God's Word with us. And so please take a copy of God's Word. Go to Matthew 7 with me. And we're continuing our talk this summer about the afterlife. And maybe you remember when we began the series, we didn't mean by the term afterlife that what comes next is not really life. Like, this is life, and what's coming next is really something less than. No, what we mean by that is after this brief life, really the bulk of our existence is still to come. We have eternity coming after our brief stay on the earth. And so we've been talking, though, what comes next? The moment you die, what happens in those moments, and what will then carry on forever after that? And so here's another occasion today for me to joyfully urge you to put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you might have ongoing, glorious, everlasting life, because those are the choices. We have either everlasting life or what the Scripture would describe as everlasting death apart from God. Now, we as Americans, we love our choices. So today you have a choice before you, but we're familiar with choices as Americans. We expect them. We demand choices. In fact, I was thinking that even this shows up in our supermarkets. Did you know on Staples Mill Road, this road where we are right now, there are 6 supermarkets? I counted them. Here we go. I wrote them down. We have Aldi, Lidl, Kroger, Target, Food Lion, and Publix. And aren't you glad? You get to choose. Some of you have strong feelings about the store you will go to, you won't go to. You love your choices. Then when you make your choice of supermarkets, then you have this dizzying array of choices per category. Let's go to the toothpaste aisle. And if somebody in your family said, pick me up a tube of toothpaste, you'd be paralyzed. Like, what do you mean pick up a tube? There are too many choices. That's too vague. And so think about the choices with me. You've got Colgate, Crest, Aim, Aquafresh, Arm & Hammer, Sensodyne, and many more. But if you said, pick me up a tube of Crest, that wouldn't work. You'd still be like, what? Give me something. All right, do you want regular, tartar control, whitening, sensitive? Do you want Crest Professionals? You know, what, do you want Vivid? What do you want? Then still they tell you one of those. You go, wait a minute, but do you want paste or do you want gel? And the person might say, I demand both. I want the swirly kind. I got to have my choices. All right, we got our toothpaste. That took us 10 minutes. Now we go to the toilet paper aisle, and we have crazy choices there. We've got Charmin. You can tell I studied. We have Charmin, Northern, Cottonelle, Angel Soft, Scott. We got generics. But then you have soft, ultra soft, and strong. Then you got to do math, and you get there, and it's like, do I want mega rolls or regulars? You ever been there? Like, okay, wait a minute. So 9 mega equals like 470 regulars of this brand. But if I get 12 of these, so you're like, I got to now figure out per square what's the best deal there. But we love our choices. Or how about water choices? Growing up as a boy, I would have never guessed you'd shop for water. That was not a thing way back when. So, but now I got Dasani, Deer Park, Aquafina. I got generic. Some people say, I'm not drinking generic water. You won't catch me with Great Value water. I got to have the name brand. What is water? But we love our choices. But here we are in Matthew 7, and Jesus is going to tell us that spiritually, the options are just two. This is unfamiliar territory for us in our culture. What do you mean, two? Already, some people might be feeling a bit offended. I got to have more than two choices. But Jesus says you have two gates that you get to choose, and this is going to affect your afterlife. Which gate you choose, Jesus, you got just two choices. But you better choose carefully, because one of these leads to life and one of these leads to everlasting destruction. Now, I love this. This isn't like the old game show where you were supposed to just guess. Remember that old show, you know, choose between what's behind door number one or door number two. And they wouldn't tell you what. And one of them was just a bummer prize and one was a great prize. And they wouldn't tell you, trying to trick you. Jesus is not tricking you. He loves you. He's going to urge you to take the right gate. And so let's look at it together. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. It's the words of Jesus. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So this morning, hear the words of Jesus. You are here, and before you stand just two gates, and these determine your afterlife. Which one will you choose? So let's look at what Jesus talks about here, a narrow gate. Notice that here you're invited, you're exhorted by Jesus to come into the narrow gate. Jesus is not just kind of giving information here. Hey, just want you to be aware there are two gates, and he's teaching you about gates. No, he's telling you, notice that he says, you need to enter this one. He's imploring you. He's commanding you into the way that leads to life. Now, notice the gate here that he describes that he wants you to go in. He says it's small. The way, once you choose the right gate, it's going to be a narrow way that you're going to be walking. He's going to tell you here that very few people actually make this choice. If you take this gate, you're going to be in the minority. But that narrow gate and the way that follows is the one that leads to life. We say, well, what kind of life is Jesus talking about? In John 10:10, Jesus said, this is the abundant life. This is eternal life. So we say, all right, what is then the gate? The gate is Jesus himself. And the narrow way is following after Jesus once you have trusted in him. So here's Jesus letting us know that every path does not lead to God. Every path does not lead to heaven. You don't get to choose whichever path you would like to have and make it heaven. Do you notice? Jesus says, here's a narrow gate. Choose that one. It leads to life. And there's another choice that we'll talk about in a moment. In fact, in verse 21, which we'll see in a little while, Jesus makes this claim. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So everybody doesn't go to heaven, but Jesus wants you there, and he's telling you how to go. Now, one of the favorite criticisms against Christians through the years has been that Christians are narrow-minded. But I want you to know that Jesus is the one who brings up this narrow gate here. We didn't make this up. And certainly, none of us wants to be bigoted. We're not hateful toward anybody, but we're just seeing the clear revelation of God about how it works. How might I be right with God? How can I have eternal life? And Jesus teaches this, and the apostles taught this throughout the New Testament. For instance, in John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. Here he talks about a gate. In John 10, he talks about being the door. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Or Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, listen to this, and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And then we saw this, John 14:6, when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So here we're told that the way is narrow. There's just one that you need to trust in. His name is Jesus. He is the gate that Jesus implores you to come through. But notice this, though the gate is narrow, the invitation is as wide as possible. Here's Jesus saying, come through the narrow gate. I'm making the offer to anyone, but you've got to come through the one gate. So he's not really being exclusive. He's just telling you there's only one way. Now, I love this, that we're told as we fast forward to the end of human history, we're told what it's going to be like, that there will be people from every tongue and tribe, every people group on earth. There'll be representatives of all the peoples on earth around the throne worshiping God at last. So Revelation 7, verse 9 and following says this, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Don't you love it? He's not restricting this on the basis of race or what country you're from. The problem we have is our sin problem. That's what excludes us from a relationship with God. And Jesus alone, because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, he can remedy our sin problem. He alone can cleanse us of sin. That's why he is the narrow gate, but he makes this offer to all who would turn from sin and trust in him. But nevertheless, we are reminded that truth is by its very nature, it's narrow. Truth is narrow. Everything can't be called truth. There's contradiction there. I've noticed this in the discipline of mathematics. Perhaps it's one of the reasons why I did not like math. There was a year in elementary school that I enjoyed math, but really every other year I did not like math. I find it far too constricting. So you have these narrow-minded math teachers that of all the billions, trillions even, of numbers that I could put down on a paper, it seemed to me that the math teachers always wanted one number, right? And any other number that I might put down, they would put red ink. No, that's not right. There's to that problem, there's just one answer that's correct there. And so we know that's how it works, that something's true. And if one thing's true, then every other option for that one, those things are not true. And if we're thinking clearly, we're not offended by that. So sometimes in our culture, we hear people say, trying to be nice, but they'll say, really, all religions are essentially the same. But let's test that a minute. Is that possible in the spiritual realm? In math, we're okay with being one right answer, everything else is wrong. But is it possible in the spiritual realm that everything can't be right just because we wish it were so? So let's do a little test here, and let's just compare for a moment Hinduism with Christianity. Now, let's go quickly. We love Hindus. We love everybody. And so we have nothing but love in our hearts for everybody. But it's not true that the spiritual claims of Hinduism are the same as the spiritual claims of what we find revealed by God in the Scripture. So, for instance, Hinduism teaches that there are 330 million gods. Sometimes you'll see different numbers for that. You might see 3 million gods or 30 million gods, sometimes 300 million. But the number you see most commonly is 330 million gods. Also in Hinduism, it's expressed through much idolatry. And then there's the idea that life just goes round and round, that you'll have millions of reincarnations on the earth. I used to think as a boy that they only taught you just come back one time, but no, it's millions of times. So you'll come back in the plant life sometimes, insect realm, animal realm. You might come back as a human, maybe a low-caste human or a high-caste human, a male or female, depending on how good your previous life was and your karma balanced by your works. You'll either rise up or you'll go down over and over again. So those are the central teachings of Hinduism. And then we compare that with the gospel. And we say, those two couldn't be farther apart. Those things are complete opposites. So what does the Bible affirm? God affirms of himself in the Bible, there's just one God, not 330 million, or not even two, not even five. There's one God. And the one God hates idolatry. You remember in the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments, you shall have no other gods before me, and don't make for yourself a graven image. How can all religions be the same? They're diametrically opposed. We're just saying truth by its very nature is narrow. And we don't come round and round, God tells us. You live on this earth one time, and then comes judgment, and you'll have one of two eternal destinations. And it's not based on your works, how well you live your life, if your good outweighs your bad. It's not that. The Bible says, no, nobody's righteous. We're not saved by our works, but by the grace of God. Your eternal destiny hinges on whether you have believed in the Savior Jesus or you've said no to the Savior Jesus. And so that is very, very different. So again, the truth here is narrow. Jesus is making a claim here that it's just through him. Now the word narrow also, two different words here, but as he talks about the narrow way here, that word carries the idea of difficulty. So it means this, to suffer trouble or hardship. So the way that leads to life, if you enter into the narrow gate, Jesus, and you live the life of following after him by faith, that's going to be a hard life, he tells you here. There are going to be challenges in the life. This life of following Jesus on the narrow way will involve persecution and challenge. That's what he's telling you. When you choose the narrow gate, there will be few people around you applauding that decision. There will be much opposition, actually, to that. Now, believing in Jesus is easy, in a sense, because God's the one opening up your eyes. It was Jesus that did all the work on the cross, right? It was Jesus sweating on the cross. It was Jesus taking the punches and the beatings on the way to the cross. It was Jesus that took the nails. So it's all the work of Jesus in order to save us. So you think, he did all the work. My move is just to lay down my sin and to put my hope and trust in Jesus. Ask him to save me. That's easy. But in the following of Jesus, haven't we noticed, those who've done this, there's challenge there. In fact, I have us here. We just dropped into Matthew 7. This is in the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, it's called. And this sermon began by Jesus in chapter 5. And if you think about it, if you know the Sermon on the Mount, I encourage you to reread it sometime. The things Jesus calls his disciples to are quite challenging, quite unnatural, and the narrow way that he calls to is quite hard. It's impossible for human beings. For instance, among the things Jesus taught us just in the Sermon on the Mount is that we're to love and forgive our enemies. Like, that does not come naturally, does it? You mean I'm going to love people who hate me? I'm going to forgive people who hate me or try to hurt me? Yes, that's what Jesus says. That's a hard path. That's a narrow path. How about this? When Jesus said we're to turn the other cheek, when somebody strikes us or insults us, we're not to retaliate. We say, oh, wait a minute. That's nearly impossible. And yet that's what the Lord calls us to, and we can do by the power of the Spirit. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us we're to live to a higher standard of righteousness, an internal righteousness, not merely staying away from adultery, not merely staying away from murder, but Jesus says, hey, don't even be angry at people. Jesus said, don't even lust after a woman or you've committed adultery already in your heart. And we say, that is not natural. But he says, you're to resist lust, you're to resist anger, and you're to do all this while being persecuted by a hostile world around you. In Matthew 5, verses 9 through 12, he says, you need to be peacemakers on the earth. And you need to realize you're blessed when people persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely because of me. He says, you need to rejoice in that. So yes, trusting in Jesus, it leads you into a narrow way. And that word narrow brings the idea, oh, there's going to be some difficulties with that. So let's pause here. Let me ask you a question. Does it bother you that Jesus refers to the path of life as a narrow path? Does that somehow strike you, that can't be right? Or that offends me that you would say, or that Jesus would say, that there's just one narrow way that leads to life. Listen, we're not thinking clearly if we're offended by that. Let me give you this scenario. What if you were in your house this afternoon, a terrible fire started in your house, and there you were trapped in your room. You made the call to 911, and when the firefighter came to your room, came bursting through a wall of flame to scoop you up in his arms, and there he starts carrying you out the front door of your house to safety. What if you put your hands on the door frame like, no, I didn't want to leave this way. I wanted choices. Where are my choices? I will not be rescued through this door. Wouldn't that be foolishness? Nobody does that. So if we understand, I'm in spiritual danger. Jesus came to rescue me. I'm not worried about choices. I just need a rescue. I'm so grateful that God provided a way to rescue me. And so our problem is a spiritual problem. When we're offended by that, we're not thinking clearly what God is mercifully offering to us. I want to save you. I want to rescue you. Just be glad I love you this much. So there is a narrow gate. Let's talk about the next thing Jesus said. There is the other alternative, the other choice, and it's the wide gate. Jesus describes it as wide, as broad, and he says this is the way that leads to destruction, and he tells us many enter it. So if you're looking for what is the popular choice, the broad way that leads to destruction, that is the popular gate. Many will enter into it. It's not specific. It's not restrictive at all. You can believe anything you want, and you can be on the broad way that leads to destruction. And so some people will tell you, really, life is all about the journey. There's some truth to that, but really, it's all about the destination. You can have a great time on the broad way, but it's going to matter forever. The destination that you have chosen for yourself, and Jesus is calling you away from the wide gate. So what's Jesus saying here? He's saying there's only one way to abundant and eternal life. It's through the one gate himself, but he's saying there are limitless ways for you to go to hell. If you want to go to heaven, you come through the one Savior that is, you put your faith in Jesus, the one who died for you and was raised from the dead. But if you want to avoid that, if you want to go to destruction, you can choose any possible way. That's how wide that other gate is. So you can go to hell no matter what else you choose as long as you reject the narrow door. So let's think about this for a second. You can be religious without Jesus and still end up in destruction. Or you can be irreligious. You can be on drugs or you can be clean. As long as you reject Jesus, you can go into destruction. Notice how open that is for you. You can be an immoral person. Or you can be a very moral person and leave Jesus out. You're not trusting Jesus. Then you can go to destruction. You can be very greedy or you can be very philanthropic and generous. And without Jesus, still go to destruction. Now, how about this one? Listen carefully. You can leave Jesus out of your life and it won't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian. You can still be on the wide path that leads to destruction. You can be a serial killer or a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Leave Jesus out of your life, whichever of those choices you make, and you're heading for destruction. You can be a high-class person your whole life or a low-class person your whole life. Doesn't matter. Leave Jesus out, and you're on a broad path that leads to destruction. Or you can be a hypocrite. You can be a complete faker. Or you can be sincerely wrong, leaving Jesus out of your life, and you'll be on the same path. So the point is, without Jesus, it doesn't matter your lifestyle. Without Jesus, it doesn't matter your hobbies or your culture without Jesus, it is the other gate. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And this broad way also carries the idea of easy. It is a prosperous way. This is the easier way. So if we think about it, if I choose the narrow gate, Jesus already said, it's going to be more challenging on that side. Free gift of salvation, but a challenging walk. You'll need the Holy Spirit for that. But if you choose the broad gate, there's something easy about that. You can do as you please on the broad way that leads to destruction. You can live by your own appetites. You can be the Lord of your own life on the way that leads to destruction. You can live for your own glory and all the preferences you want to fight for on that way. You can have money as your God on that way. And catch this, the world will applaud you on the broad way that leads to destruction. So you'll have hostility, Jesus said, difficulties as you take the narrow path, but not if you take the broad path. It is so popular, you will have people championing you. They will be praising you as you reject the narrow path and go on the way that leads to destruction. Now, in reality, everything doesn't go well on the broad way that leads to destruction. If you've watched your loved ones on that other path, they might feel like it's easier in some ways, but still there's heartbreak on the other path. There are wrecked homes and unfulfilled relationships. There's emptiness and disillusionment. Many people on the broad way that leads to destruction, they're experiencing addiction, some of them even prison, or there's disease. But ultimately, that leads to eternal separation from God. So it may be easier and convenient in some ways, but it won't go well for long. And it certainly doesn't end well, and Jesus wants you to know that. Now, I want you to see this as well. These two choices, the narrow way, which is Jesus, or the broad way is anything but Jesus, there are your choices. And there are advocates always advocating for the broad way in our culture. So if you notice, most of what you hear in the media, which gate is being pointed to? Most voices in media are telling you, take the broad way. Most voices in education telling you the same thing. Students, you're about to go back to school. Most of the voices are going to be telling you, take the broad way, reject the narrow way. Most voices in entertainment are pounding into your mind, take the broad way. And sadly, even in many churches, people are telling you, take the broad way away from Christ and from the truth of God's word. There have even in recent days been some high-profile defections. One who once pastored a large church now says, by any definition, I'm no longer a Christian. I'm rejecting biblical morality and all the things that I've ever taught before. But isn't it comforting, in the midst of that sadness, isn't it comforting that Jesus told us in advance that there will be people like that? In fact, we see it right here in our context. Look with me now at verse 15. Just as a reminder, there will be advocates for the broad way that leads to destruction, even arising within so-called churches. Verse 15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles are they. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus said, most people are going to choose the broad path. He warns us here that even people who will appear to be spiritual, they appear to be his children, they'll start advocating for the other path. He says, but watch out for them. Don't follow the crowd and don't follow the false teachers. So as we take this teaching to heart, what do we do with this? First of all, this, we should choose the narrow path. And I'm so grateful for God's mercy in your life that he brought you here today to hear these two choices so that you would choose life, because that's what Jesus wants for you. That's why this is in the scriptures, not to scare you, just to inform you, but that you would, in response to this message, say, I'm trusting Jesus. I'm going to enter in the narrow gate, Jesus himself. So we must choose the narrow gate and live. Secondly, we must help others find this gate. We've said most of the voices in the culture are being champions for the place and the way that leads to destruction. And we need to be those voices saying, no, no, no. Come with us to life. We found life in Jesus. There's life in none other. Come with us. So patiently praying and persuading people to come with us to life. There's no joy like seeing people come to know Jesus. What else do we do with this? Third thing, we must get used to being the minority. You must get used to being the minority. Most Americans, though they might say on a survey that they're Christians, most Americans are not believers, right? Many of them just cultural Christians. They have shown by their life that they're on the broad path. But understand this, Jesus is not naive. Jesus did not define success by getting the majority of people to believe. And nevertheless, Jesus came anyway. Even though Jesus said the people who will eventually believe percentage-wise will be few, Jesus still came and died on a cross for the sins of the world, for all who would believe. Even though the believers ultimately would be few, he still sent the Spirit of God to sustain us here. He's still preparing heaven for the few who would trust in Jesus. And he's coming again for the few, for the remnant who have trusted in him. You and I know from experience, sometimes it's wise to break from the pack. Though we like it when everybody's on our side and everybody shares our beliefs, we know that really there are a lot of times in life when we do choose to be in the minority. Well, I do this every Saturday morning. So every Saturday morning, I shop for my mother. My mother doesn't get around real well. And so I go to the Short Pump Walmart. I'll meet you there Saturday. And I shop early. I jokingly call this getting up and getting there before the lazy people. See, I don't want to be at Walmart at 2 in the afternoon on a Saturday. I don't want to be with the majority. So I'll get up early on a Saturday so that I can be there with the minority. I just want to be there with a few people there. When I get there early and avoid the crowds, the problem with that is they don't have a lot of people at the cash registers. So among the choices then, I want to tell you again, I don't look for a crowd in the line. Wouldn't that be silly? Well, there are 20 people in that line. They must know something I don't know. I could go here where there's nobody. I think I'll get up here with everybody. They seem to be in the right place. I'd be wasting my Saturday if I followed the crowd into the biggest line. You make the same choices. When you go to the store, give me the line that nobody's in. Give me that. Sometimes it's wise. We just know it. I don't need to go where everybody's going. That's not going to work out well for me. And so we choose accordingly. In fact, let me say this to you. If you find your views in the majority in our culture, be very afraid. Be very afraid. If you find that the music you hear on secular radio and what they're pumping into you, go, man, that's me. Oh, I resonate with that. That's truth. That's truth. Or you watch daytime TV or nighttime TV or Netflix, whatever they pump out, their new TV MA show, day after day they're pumping out. You go, man, I love that. That doesn't trouble me at all. That's me. Those are my values. Be alarmed, because those are the values of the Broadway that leads to destruction. Reading again this morning where Lot, remember Lot, Abraham's nephew? He was in the city of Sodom. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're told what was going on in the heart of Lot when he lived in such a wicked city. It says his righteous soul was tormented day and night because of the unrighteousness around him. Believer in Christ, if you've come to know Jesus and now by his grace you're on this narrow road, you should be having something like that stirring in you. You're grieved. You love the people around you. You love all of them around you. But you have mercy on them and you're disturbed by what's happening. And that should be going on rather than I'm home and these are my views, these are my values. Listen, be okay with being in the minority. And so here's the invitation this morning. There's a narrow gate. His name is Jesus, but his arms are open wide. You think, would he have me? Oh, he wants you. He put this in the New Testament for you to read it so that you would respond to it. He said, enter through the narrow gate. He's not looking for ways to keep you out. Oh, if you will come to him, he'll wash your sins away. He'll adopt you into his family. He'll have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so choose Jesus today. And as you do, this is not the moment to look around to decide, what will others do? What if my friends are going to trust Jesus or not? What if my family will trust Jesus or not? This isn't the moment for that. Be concerned about them in just a few moments. But right now, you make your choice. I'm trusting Jesus. I know there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody loved like Jesus. Nobody holy like Jesus. I'm putting all my hope in Jesus. Let's make our decisions for him right now.